Good morning. Happy January 2016. Actually, last week was such a fantastic week, wasn't it, in church? I just felt like, wow, if you missed the sermon last week that Caleb preached, please take time to go on our website or on YouTube, find our YouTube channel and watch it. It's going to just seed your heart with hope for the year. I'm expecting great things. And I know we're not just supposed to start off the year like really on a high and then kind of fizzle out towards the end of the year. But God is going to keep us the whole year long, all the way. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So he wants to keep you in that place of hope all year long. Well, today, before I start my message, I just want to share some things that have kind of been rattling around in my heart for this season, for this year. And I just really believe that this year, 2016, is a year of a greater awareness of heaven's encounter with earth. That we are going to be more acutely aware than ever before of God's desire to be in our lives and be part of our lives. And the best way I can describe this is out of Genesis 28, where Jacob, he's just haggled, finagled, deceived inheritance from his family in the wrong way. And he's on the run. He's on the move. And he comes to a certain place and he lays down at night. He's tired. And I guess he's really tired because he puts up stones for his pillows. Like, I mean, I think grab some brush or like moss or something, but he must be really tired to like put his head on a stone, right? So he goes to sleep that night and God visits him in his dream. And God shows him a ladder up into heaven, a staircase to heaven. And what he sees is angels of God ascending and descending up and down this staircase. And the Lord himself standing at the top of the staircase, releasing promises over his life. And he tells him in verse 15 that he will be with them and he will not leave them until he's accomplished all that he's promised. Well, I know that there are people in this room that have been carrying the promises of God, that you've been carrying words from the Lord in your heart, and that God's saying this is a season of fulfilled promises, that he is with you. He's going to be with you. He will accomplish his word over you. He's going to finish what he has authored in your life. Amen. It's going to be a good year. So let's just start with a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we could gather here this morning in your name. And I pray that you would open our eyes to behold you. You would open our ears to hear your voice of you calling us closer to us. And you would take us into new, even unexpected realms in this year. Lord, places that we have never been before, let us go further in our journey and our walk than we have ever anticipated. Lord, I thank you for the power of the word that says, as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And I pray that we position our hearts today to draw near to you, God. Help every heart in this place be connected to you in this moment. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about getting out of the boat in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 32. Now, before I get to reading the scripture, you know, you can turn there in your Bible or you can follow with me on the screen. But before we start reading those verses, we have to get a context of where we pick up with this. What had happened is that Jesus had been off to seclude himself for a time of prayer after a difficult moment with John the Baptist being beheaded, and the multitudes, though, seek him out and find him out. I love that kind of hunger that they're like, no, Jesus, you can't get away from us. And no matter if you're going to go try to hide yourself, we're going to find you. And so there's literally multitudes that come out to hear him speak, and he's healing them. He's releasing his word to them. And the disciples are like, Jesus, we need to break, you know, stop teaching, stop preaching. These people are going to get hangry in a little bit. They're going to get hungry, which means they're going to get angry because people get irritated a lot when they get hungry, right? When you're really hungry, some of us are more hangry than others. You're like, please finish this service soon so I can go eat and I will not be hangry at you. But disciples are like, Jesus, we need a break. We need to, you know, these people need to go, send them away so they can get something to eat. And Jesus tells them, hey, you know, what do we have around here? And they said, well, we have some fish, some bread. And so the Lord gathers them up and he thanks his Father in heaven, and he gives it to the disciples, and they begin to pass out, and there's this incredible miracle of multiplication that takes place to feed over 5,000 men, and women and children are not included in the number that Scripture says. So that's a big crowd to feed from a few loaves and fishes, or fish. I guess King James says fishes, and I've always got that in my head now to always say fishes. But after the miracle, they don't waste anything. And do you ever wonder why in Scripture there's numbers like they took up 12 baskets full of fragments? So this was a feast that God provided for them. It wasn't like taking communion where we all have a little piece of cracker and a little shot of, you know, grape juice, right? I know you guys are like, what? Yeah. It is like, everybody down. Okay. They were full. They were like feasted on what God provided for them. And now each of these disciples have in their possession a basket full of the miraculous of what God had provided, carrying it with them, 12, one for each of them as they go on to this next season. And that's where we pick up in Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear, But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Well, here we have it. These disciples were obeying Jesus. And now they are struggling to accomplish what he sent them to do. Anybody in this room ever feel like you're struggling to accomplish what you believe the Lord has sent you to do? Well, obedience is no guarantee that you would be spared from adversity, that you'd be spared from tribulation or trials. There are things you're going to face, and God knows that, and he lets it challenge us. And so here it is on this dark, stormy, windy night, they're in their boat. Do you like my boat? It's black leather and chrome. Every good boat has a name, so I think I should name it Blackie, like the black stallion. It's like the stallion on the waters, right? So it is this dark, terrifying night. I mean, like, I'm sure it starts out okay, and the disciples are in there rowing away, and I think they're like, okay, it's okay, we've done this, we're just going to cross over, meet Jesus on the other side, it's all going to be good. But this storm picks up, and it begins to thrash the boat around, and I'm sure they just start, you know, with more determination, just row, row. And they're on their, like, 100th round of row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but. And they're like, sing it again, you know, and they're trying to keep each other calm as they're singing this song and rowing. But, you know, this is a boat full of 12 men of all different types of personalities, all different types of occupations. You know, four of them, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, were fishermen. I mean, like, this is their vessel. They're like, we are used to this. They have some arm strength. They pulled fish in from the sea before, right? They're like, we've got this. Everybody row together on my count. You know, I'm sure they're in there trying to get everybody to row, you know, in some kind of order, orderly fashion to go somewhere so they're not just spinning in circles. You ever been in a boat that just spins in circles because you're rowing at opposite times? And so they're rowing away. And then you have like Matthew, you know, which is also his name is Levi. He's a tax collector. I'm sure he's like one of those middle school girls on raft camp, you know, that just slap the water with their paddle, you know, because he's like, I'm a tax man. I do paperwork, you guys. I don't do this, you know, row across the, you know, lake kind of thing, you know. And then you have, who else do you have in there? I mean, you have Judas Iscariot, like, dude, he's not even rowing. He's up at the front, like pretending he's the, you know, the head of the ship. And he's like, I'm the financier. You know, I don't have to, you know, I hold the bag of money. I pay for us to go where we need to go. Can't we just pay somebody to get there instead of doing this ourselves? You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of conversations going on that night. And while they're rowing away, trying to keep encouraged to do the task that the Lord has commanded them to do, a figure is moving towards them on the water. Now, it says when they saw him, they were terrified. They weren't like, oh, look, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Save the day. No, they literally cry out in fear. It's a ghost. I mean, they panic. You know, I don't know about you, but they have never seen Jesus move in this way before or come in this way before. They were just with him on land, and now he's in an unexpected place. I don't know if you've ever met somebody in an unexpected place, but it can terrify you. Like, we were up in Tahoe for our for the holidays in December, and we were just spending some nights up there, and I had kissed the kids goodnight in bed and went downstairs to do a few more things. And I went, you know, back upstairs to my room to go to sleep. And I was just going to go to bed, so I didn't turn on the lights, right? So I'm walking to my bed, and all of a sudden a hand reaches out from under the bed and a boo. And I scream like, you know, I'm going to be murdered, you know, like frightened, because my daughter is absolutely thrilled that she just scared mother, you know, she just scared her mom the wits out of me. I had put her in a place, and I did not expect her to be in this new place, right? So the disciples were in that, you know, don't get down on them, because they're in that frame of mind, you know. They're like, we left Jesus on shore, and now all of a sudden he's coming towards us. So they are freaked out. They're terrified. But what happens, though, when God starts to show up in unexpected places? It can terrify you. It's out of the normal realm, out of the normal place, and we can relate to that and freak out. But sometimes we can get so focused on the rowing, on the action, and the task at hand, we forget to look up and to keep our eyes on what God is doing. We can get really accustomed to God in one context and fail to realize that he can move in other ways or other means. In other words, he can move outside the boat, even though he sent us in the boat. And so we can become focused on the structure. We can become focused on the order, the structure of the boat, the beautiful boat. Look how wonderful it is. And miss the fact that we are to be relationship driven and not formula driven. We become religious when we get focused on the structure instead of on the person. And so this is why I really love the body of Christ. And to be a healthy Christian, we need connection with the body of Christ. And I know there are times you think the body of Christ is weird. Well, somebody thinks that about you too. But it's important to make you normal, because God's going to meet you outside of your boat, outside of the context. He moves our lives in different ways. It's important to fellowship around how God is meeting us, what he's doing in our lives, how he's encountering us in different ways, so we can expand our vision, so we can see differently. I mean, if you're not part of a life group this year, it's time to get part of a group, a home group, where you can share what God is doing and journey together and expand and not get stuck in a religious spirit. Because God can move bigger. He's bigger than we are. He's a bigger God. So Matthew 6:48 tells us, about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. Walking on the lake, he was about to pass them by. Now what? He's like, they're rowing. I mean, they're just like, come on, guys. I mean, it's the fourth hour. I mean, they've been at this a long time. I'm sure they're exhausted. I'm sure they're snacking on some bread and some fish, you know, while they're doing this. They're like going and going, and Jesus just comes by. But he's not doing this to be like, Shaka, hey, dudes, meet you on the other side. You know, see you later, leaving you in the dust. I've got this while you toil away. Good luck with that. No, He was actually inviting them into something. He was presenting an opportunity to them. God was here in the most unlikely place. And so what was unfolding was a new adventure and a new experience. They were to recognize that God wasn't there just to walk past them. He was inviting them to go where he was. Now, if you think I'm just taking this one scripture and building some kind of theology off that, I'd like to point you to other people in scripture who had the same experience. Like Moses, God said, I'm going to walk right past you. I'm going to cover you with my hand and I'm going to walk past you and my glory is going to pass by you. Some of us will, oh, it's just passing by. No, he was actually a partaker then of what passed by him. He was able to reach out and then carry the glory of God and the character of God and understand the nature of who he was. Elijah was commanded to go stand in the mountain while the Lord would pass by him. And what did that mean? It meant that God was going to recommission him. He was going to give him direction for his life as God would pass by. He said, this is where I'm going. I want you to go in the same place. What about Zacchaeus? When Jesus was passing through Jericho, and he's like passing down the street. So Zacchaeus is like, I'm short, I can't see. He climbs up a tree, right? And he's like, what happens to him as Jesus passes by is Zacchaeus and his whole house become Christians. They become believers. They put their faith. Salvation comes to that house that day because Jesus passed by. What about blind Bartimaeus? He's like, what's this commotion? What's this noise? He can't see. He needs people to tell him what's going on. And someone whispers in his ear, oh, it's Jesus is passing by. And so what does he do? He begins to cry out, oh, son of David, don't pass me by. He's not wanting to leave us in the dust or in this case, struggling in a boat, but to call you to where he is and where he's going. Here's the invitation in verse 27. It's not later on like some of us think, but it's right there. Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Your strength lies in Jesus. He is the I am. He's saying, it is I. It's the I am. It's the self-existent one. It's everything you need. Here I am right before you. And take courage or be bold, be daring. What happens when God comes to you and tells you to be bold and to be daring because he is the I am? And he's basically saying, I dare you. The invitation is there and Peter hears it. He's like, you dare me? All right, let's do this thing. I accept. God, if that is really you out there, is that really you? I mean, it's kind of freaking us out and everything, but if that's really you out there, tell me to come. Command me to come. Now, I'm sure the 11 apostles that were in the boat with Peter were thinking this, because, you know, we're the same nature. And they're probably thinking, Peter has gone off the deep end. He might have a little fatigue here. You know, he's like gone cray cray. Like he wants to get out of the boat in a storm. Like, I think this is why Jesus renamed him from Simon to Peter. He needs some stability in his life. He needs to become that rock. You know, like we're worried about Peter. You ever been worried about one of your fellow Christians, your sisters or brothers? I'm worried about them. I'm not sure about this risk they're taking or where they're going with this. Well, Peter hadn't gone crazy and he hadn't gone off the deep end. He was going to move beyond. It wasn't just impulse that he was moving by. He wanted to move in obedience. He wanted to move at the command of God. And there's a difference between impulse and the call of God. And I believe we're to begin to distinguish between the two, between what's just our impulse and what is God calling us into. Water walking was not something Peter was doing for recreational purposes. Some of us think, oh, I'm really an adventurous spirit. I'd like to bungee jump. Give me the double black diamonds. I'm going to go tornado chase the tornadoes, you know, like give me some adventure. This was so much different than that. This was a call to come. It was a call to live your faith. And that's what God is calling us into, opportunity. Yes, it's going to be adventurous. It's going to be incredible. It's going to freak you out at times, to be honest. But it's a call to live your faith. And so Peter says, Jesus, just command me. I'm all about following you. Give me the order and I'll come. I told you yes when you called me when I was fishing. You came by me and I was like, yes, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And so Jesus just tell me to come. This isn't some extreme form of discipleship. I feel like some of us write this off and go, that's for the extreme people. That's for the people that are really into that. I'll never forget a job interview I had. I do bookkeeping here and there, and I had a job interview down in Santa Rafael, and they're looking at my resume, and they see on there that I went to Bible college and all this stuff, and the CFO, he's like, well, you really got into that stuff, didn't you? And I'm thinking, you have no idea. But some of us think, hey, that's for the really spiritual people to get out of the boat. The religious spirit says, don't go rocking the boat. It's all okay. Let's just stay safe in here. Why do you need to be so extreme in your faith? Why do you need to like go after Jesus all the time? I mean, come on, didn't you do that last week? Don't you do that when camp is happening? Why? It's September now, or because January, okay, January's the renewal month, and we all like it, like, woo, let's go, Jesus, I want to give him my all, but you know, come February, March, it slows down, right? Everybody's supposed to, like, relax in the boat, take a break, and the religious spirit says, go ahead and just settle down, but that's not who you are. You're to be following Jesus, and if he's there, that's the invitation to come. If he's passing you by, you better keep up. Wow. You're supposed to walk with him. You're supposed to be a disciple, a follower of him. So if he's ahead of you, you better keep moving. If he's outside the boat, you better get out. Go where he is. So can you see Jesus? Can you hear his call? It may be dark. There may be adversity. There may be winds contrary to you. But Jesus is calling, and he wants you with him. Christianity is about a relationship. It's about being with God. Can you recognize him now in this season, in 2016? Do you just see the God that did miracles on the land? Are you seeing only him back there, but now this is a new uncharted territory? Can you hear what he's saying in this new place? He can and he will meet with us in every season of our lives. He wants us to know that he is the God of the mountains and the valleys, the highs and the lows that we face. If we could just see Jesus and hear his call and recognize his presence, that we are to go into new adventures this year. We are to go into new places. If you're sure about the invite, if you're unsure that you're, am I really seeing him in that? Is he really there in that? I'm not. Is that you, God? Then ask him. Do what Peter did. He asked. He's like, if that's really you out there, tell me to come. Go ahead and ask. And so you have permission. You know, when you see him and you hear his call, it is permission to be where he is. Listen to his heart and what Jesus prays in John 17:24. Listen to this heart of God that he's already given you permission. Father, he says, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. He's already made the reach. He's already come down to where we are. And now he says, I want it to reverse. He's like, I've come down to where you are, to earth. I want you to be where I am. I want you to live out heaven into earth. I want it to turn around and to see my glory and the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. God has this in his heart, the permission to be with him at all times. So Peter then wasn't waiting for others to get on board. He wasn't waiting for there to be a poll or a vote in the boat. He's like, I see him. He's calling. I'm going to go and be with him. He's like, I don't need to wait for a majority of responders. I mean, some of us, we like to wait till a few go first, right? They could just, you know, they go to the altar first. Well, if two people go up there, then I will go, you know? Like I used to do this with prophesying all the time. If God gave me a word, I'd be like, okay, Lord, please tell somebody else to prophesy first and then I will follow. Let someone break the stream, Jesus, and I will jump in, you know? And you know, God was faithful, of course, and someone would, you know, prophesy. And then I'd be like, oh, they kind of gave what I was going to give. Do I really need to do it now? Always something, right? Peter wasn't waiting, though. There was a fire that had been lit in him. He wasn't going to wait for someone else. There was a willingness that he was cultivating in his heart. And we need to cultivate that willingness, that big yes to God in all seasons, not just in the good ones. Even in the challenging wind blowing against you, your boat is going up and down. You're like, all seems lost in this moment. He wants us to cultivate this hunger that says, no matter what, wherever he goes, I want to be with him. I mean, we sang it this morning. I want to be with you, Jesus, wherever you are. And it's time, church, I believe that we begin to really learn how to steward our own fire. You know, John had a great message, I think it was about a month ago now, about fire. And you need to look that one up too. That's a good one to listen to if you missed it. But Luke 12:35 says this, be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Look at how personal that is. It doesn't say somebody else get you dressed and somebody else fill your lamp for you. It says, I want you to be responsible and a steward of your life, a steward of the fire in your life, that you keep your lamps burning. Now, there's this place for spiritual growth. I know we come as babies to the Lord. We come as infants to the Lord. In the body of Christ, we carry our infants. We feed them. I mean, if you're a good parent, what do? I mean, you feed that baby. You change their diapers. When they need comfort, you're there to rock them and cradle them. But at some point, that's got to shift and got to change where they learn to comfort themselves. Otherwise, you're running to their beck and call every time there's a cry, every time there's a thing. At some point, they've got to learn to potty train, right? They've got to learn to use the toilet. Yeah, yeah. Big one. They've got to learn to feed themselves. Hopefully with a spoon and not just grab, you know? And so in our walk with the Lord, some of us like to remain spiritual infants, but I believe God is calling us to say, hey, steward your own fire. It's time for a generation that awakens that will steward their own spiritual life instead of always needing somebody else to fill them or to tend to their own fire. If you are that person, you will keep your lamp burning only while somebody is near you or somebody else ignites something in you, and you always will need to be relit. So we are people that say, hey, God, I want to steward the fire that's in me. I want to guard over it. I want to watch over it. What happens when a generation begins to focus then on the opportunities that God presents to us instead of the obstacles? When we steward our own fire and keep our lamps burning and we see something, we're like, I got this. There's a fire inside me. There's a yes inside me. There's a willingness inside of me. And we focus on Christ instead of the storm. You know, like, just think about these disciples. The scripture says in Mark that their hearts were hardened, so they did not perceive, they didn't understand or comprehend what God had done through the miracle of the loaves and the fish. Here they are carrying 12 baskets, one for each of them. And they did not understand, even though they could be sitting in the boat taking a little snack off of heavenly bread, right? I mean, this probably tasted great. Energy bar, you know. I mean, they were eaten away. But they failed to see what God was trying to speak to them. Like, how is this going to work? How is it going to work? The answer was right in front of them. The power of God, that he is with them. And so he's saying, take courage. What happens when a generation begins to exercise their faith? When God's saying, be bold. And you're like, yeah, be bold. You're like, I'm going to be bold this year. I'm going to take risks this year. How far can we go? Where will God take us in this season? Are you up for the challenge? This year, I'm like, okay, what terrifies me? That's what I'm going to do this year. And I'm not talking about crazy, just, you know, sporty things. I'm talking about what spiritually terrifies me. And there are things that terrify me. And so I'm like, I'm not going to back down from those things. I'm going to go on them head on. I'm going to go on them with my whole heart. Hey, and if I fail, I fail. I'm going to go after that because I believe God is calling me into that thing. So what terrifies you? Are you ready? Can you take courage? Can you be like, God, you are the I am. You are with me. And faith says, I can walk as you walk. And so Peter is seeing Jesus walk on water, and faith is going to be exercised. He says, I can walk as you walk, and he gets out of that boat. You know, comfort and ease and temporal security really are not the goals of Christianity. Strong faith is. God has saved us and called us, the scripture says. Saved and called. What happens when we fully begin to look into what that is? When we fully begin to investigate, what is this call? What has he called me to participate in? The author John Ortberg says this, the decision to grow always involves a choice between risk and comfort. This means that to be a follower of Jesus, you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of your life. And the boat, as beautiful as she is, Blackie, she's even cushioned, is not where I'm to remain. It's not where I'm to stay. I mean, look at this. I mean, I could dwell on the miracle of yesterday even. I can feast on the miracle of yesterday. And God's still saying, that's not the end. There's more to be experienced. There's more to walk in. You're to get out of the boat. Put the basket down and get out of the boat. The boat does feel safe and comfortable, doesn't it, when you're in those familiar places? It feels definitely more secure than billowing waves and wind, than when crazy storm. What are we afraid of leaving behind, though? As the Holy Spirit begins to search our hearts, maybe for us the boat could be a job. Maybe we see Jesus out there, but we are not sure that's secure to have that job, or a relationship, or a lifestyle, or a habit. Peter doesn't let the boat keep him back, though. He abandons himself to the power of God and gives himself over to him. Verse 29, Jesus' response to Peter is just this, come. Come. I love this answer. The scripture tells us that all the promises of God are yes and amen. So he's like, go ahead and do it. You can and you will. God's your number one cheerleader. He's your number one fan. He's like, go ahead, get out of the boat. You can and you will. He says, you've got this because I've got you. And so Peter's like, woo, it's time to exercise some faith. It's time to walk into my God-given destiny. I'm to go after him. Even those things that I've been afraid of or terrified of, I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, some of us think we have to get it all right to be a success, or be perfect first and then get out of the boat. You know, our faith does not grow unless we exercise, just like muscles don't grow unless you work them out. Verse 30 tells us when Peter saw the wind, he began to sink. Oh, when reality sets in. You ever stepped out on a word of the Lord, or where you believe he is directing you, and suddenly you thought you were fearful before, but now it's like more fear than you've had before? He's like, what was I thinking? As he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to look at the storm around him. What was I thinking? I had a what was I thinking when we were on vacation years ago and our kids were little down in San Diego, and we were at the SeaWorld, that was called SeaWorld, and there's these great big rides, you know, so fun to, well, at least I thought it was going to be fun, and I hadn't been on one in so long, because when your kids are little, they can't go on them, right? So you're the good parents, and you hang out, and you do the little kiddie rides, and they're like, yee-wee, you're kind of in the little train that just does a circle around, you know, those little things, and I was like, oh, how fun would it be to get back on this real roller coaster, like adult size, you know, thing, and so we're almost at the outside the park. I think actually we went outside the park and Caleb's like, go back in and just ride it by yourself. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Let's do it. And so I get in there and I'm like looking at people, you know, you're standing in line for a while. And you know, a lot of them just are meeting the height requirements to get on the ride. I'm like, oh, they got it. I got it. You know, and you start this, you get in on the roller coaster and you start this foreboding ride up into the atmosphere, right? Like, there's like the clinking of the chains or whatever, and there's like clunk, 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 clunk. And you're like, when will this end? And it's like slow. It's not like, can you just get me a little faster so this thing can get started, you know? And the dread is starting to settle in, and I'm like, what was I thinking? And I'm literally, you guys, it was no joke. I was like, can I get off? Like, I think that's an, is that an exit? Like, I mean, like, I was like, there's got to be a way off this. There's got to be platforms that I can just walk down. I mean, I'm sure at some point someone has to get off this thing. And I, you know, with dread go, we start the descent down. And I am screaming, not out of joy, not out of delight, not out of like, this is the best decision of my life and I'm just past fear now. No, I'm screaming because I think I'm going to die. And I'm like, trying to calm my heart down. I'm taking deep breaths. I'm reminding myself that there are children that are smaller than I am on this thing and they're enjoying it and it's going to be okay. And that thousands and thousands of people have ridden this roller coaster before I have, and that I will walk away alive. That's when reality sets in. What was I thinking? Well, our walk with the Lord can be no different sometimes, where we step out and we go, oh, what was I thinking in that moment? Peter's there now and he begins to sink. And you know, this is the moment the boat potatoes begin to speak up. There's couch potatoes and then there's boat potatoes. And the boat potatoes, you know, because think they know it all because they're in the boat, begin to chime in about the water walker. And I really think that we really need to cut out, stop criticizing water walkers. But they see the failure of Peter. I mean, he's right there. They're all like, I mean, the whole time, I'm sure they're like gaping, like as he steps out and starts walking, and they're like, oh. And then he starts sinking. They're like, oh, I knew it. He wouldn't survive. I bet you $10. You know, like, I mean, they're like, blah, blah, blah. I knew he wouldn't make it, and kept going on. But I would like to suggest, as the body of Christ, that our bigger enemy is not failure. It's complacency and stagnation. Our bigger enemy is not that people fall and stumble. It's that we hold back, we choose not to grow, not to move forward, not to grow in our faith. We refuse faith and risk. That is a greater enemy. And so we need to let God challenge us in this season to take new risks that even terrify us. I say it, but I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, help us. Help me. Well, your knees begin to shake. I mean, like you have physical repercussions because you are literally scared. Like, God, if you don't back me up here, I'm out on a limb, or maybe no limb at all. I'm just out. Lord, help me. You know, I think about a friend that was fasting to hear the voice of God. He wanted to grow. He wanted to follow God with all his heart. He wanted to just be like, God, I want to hear you for myself, not just through pastor, not through another minister. And so he fasted for a whole week to hear God's voice. And he comes up to the altar one Sunday night, and he's up here, and he's standing close to the front here, and he hears this voice that says, step back. And he was like, huh? Step back? What? And he hears it again. God speaks to him, step back. And what happens in that moment, he doesn't step back, he stays there. He faints from fasting, falls forward, hits his face on the platform here, and like knocks out his tooth or damages his face somehow. And so a lot of us sitting here, you're like, oh yeah, see, failure right there. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not being one of those. But you can look at it and realize, he looked at it and recognized, hey, God was speaking to me. This was his attitude. God spoke to me. I recognize the voice of God. And next time he speaks to me, I'm going to obey. That's not failure. That's learning. That's growing. Now, I prefer that when God tells you to step back, you listen to him, and we're not taking you to the emergency room with, you know, your tooth knocked out or whatever, okay? Everybody continue to grow together. So, but we can't avoid the wind. We can't avoid opposition, setbacks, unexpected obstacles in life. But we can set our focus on Jesus and let it remain there. We have to persevere. We have to keep our focus on him. But even if we lose sight of him, this is the good news in this passage. Even if we lose sight of him, he never loses sight of us. When he tells Peter in verse 31, oh, you have little faith. We're like, ha ha, he had little faith. No, some of us take that to mean, oh, no, he had no faith. That's not what Jesus was saying. He's saying, Peter, your faith still needs to grow. It still needs to exercise some more. You need to keep on coming. When you see me pass by, you need to keep on coming after me. But don't doubt. Don't keep in that place of doubt. Know this, that you may have lost sight of me, but I will never lose sight of you. I've got you, and I will be there to lift you up. And boy, do we see that in Peter's life more than once. I mean, he goes and he chops off the ear of the servant of the high priest, you know, and Jesus is there to fix his failure, to fix his mess that he made, to heal that ear. I mean, God has got us. He doesn't lose sight of us. So church, you guys, I believe it's time in 2016 to begin to take greater risks toward Jesus. Not toward some unknown wackadoodle thing, you know, like, I mean, I know we can all get crazy, but you need to see him. It's where you see him and where you hear him calling. Where you see him and where you hear him calling. If the worship team could now come. I believe it's time that we begin to get out of our boats, out of our comfort zone where we had just been comfortable. We've laid back a little bit. We're used to God meeting us in that one way that he's going to call us out of our boat. And for each of us, our boat may be different. It may be that we need to release forgiveness. That comfort of like, I don't know, God, what will happen if I release forgiveness towards that person? Or maybe it's surrendering your life to Jesus, over to Jesus. Or being more generous than you ever have before. Or like Caleb was talking about last week, this may go with that, going on a date with somebody. Take a risk. Serving in that particular ministry or that ministry that terrifies you. Think, maybe I don't have what it takes. What happens if I don't do well there? Or sharing the good news with coworkers. The boat could be a variety of things. But it's time that we get out of our comfort zones and come close to Jesus. Follow him and don't let him pass us by. I'm ready for some new adventures. Are you? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet today. As many of you know in this room, this exciting walk of faith begins with acceptance and surrender. It's accepting the love of the Lord. And accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you'd like to take this step today and receive forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. They can go ahead and start making their way up here. And we would love to pray with you to take this next step in your life. Also, I believe that there are some of us that we're unsure if we're making the right choices or if we're headed in the right direction. And maybe we felt like we saw the Lord, but we were unclear if he was really speaking for us to come. And we need clarity of direction. Our team is also here as well to pray for you for that, for wisdom, for direction. There's other of us in the room that you can identify areas that God's calling you out of the boat. Those areas that literally have terrified you in the past, that you weren't really sure if you're capable of doing it. And God's saying, be courageous, be bold, I've got you. And so he's going to dialogue with you today about those places that you're holding on to comforts instead of Christ, where you're holding on to the boat instead of moving into new territory. And then lastly, there are those of us who have lost focus of Jesus. We've stepped out, we've taken risk, but the adverse winds and the trials and the things that face blew up in our face all of a sudden, and we're like focused on that instead of Christ himself and on his word. And God wants to reposition us and refocus us onto himself this morning. I believe these are all areas that we can respond to the Lord in. And so as we worship, again, if you need to pray to receive Christ this time and our workers are here to pray with you, let's go ahead and worship the Lord and respond. Amen.